This morning I tried to spend some time in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and especially verse 13, where the Apostle Paul said, "We having the same spirit of faith." And I tried to point out that word spirit has a small s, not a capital, which I think would indicate that it is not the Holy Spirit, but it's our attitude. And Paul saying, we having the same attitude of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Paul is saying that he has the same attitude of faith as the King David expressed in the Old Testament, Psalm 116, when David said, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Beloved, it's so important that you and I believe God. We don't just believe in Him, but we believe Him. You know, you might believe in God. You might believe there is a God. And I don't know how anybody could not believe there is a God when you see all of nature. Anybody, I think, with a thinking mind would tell us that this hymn book could not possibly have just happened by accident. Somebody had to compile it, put it together, print it. How many of y'all would believe this book just happened by accident, just out of thin air? Well, I don't see how anybody could not believe that there is a creator, a God. But here's the question. We believe in Him, but do we believe Him? And you say, well, Brother Sam, He hasn't spoken to me. Well, He has right here. This book is God speaking to us. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God inspired it to be written. And I believe He has divinely protected it or preserved it until this present hour. So as we read it, we need to believe it. And so David is saying, my attitude of faith is to believe the Word of God. And our faith should trust in the Lord. We need to live by faith and not by sight, not by work. And I want to notice with you an expression in 1 Corinthians. We'll back up to 1 Corinthians and look at something Paul said in his letter to the Corinthian church in his first letter, chapter 1. And verse 26, he would say, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, that is called by God to serve Him in His kingdom. God has not called many wise men, or many mighty men, or many noble men. Now, He didn't say He didn't call any. God has called some, a few, mighty and noble and wise men to serve in His kingdom through the centuries. But for the most part, those that God calls into His service are not considered to be wise or noble or mighty in this world. Now, why is that? But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Now let's look at that verse again. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound things that are mighty. And I believe Paul is going back to the Old Testament. He was very familiar with the Old Testament. And he had seen God working in ways that brought him glory and rather than men. You remember when he sent Moses down to Egypt to lead the Hebrews out? He didn't send him down there with a mighty army. He didn't send him down there with tanks and machine guns and jet planes and bombs. You know what he sent Moses down there with? A rod, a shepherd's rod. And that was to symbolize the mighty power of God. And let me tell you, when those 10 plagues ended and the Red Sea divided, God got the glory. Not Moses, not man, but God. You remember after 3.5-year drought in Elijah's day? 3.5 years without any rain. Now we think we've just been through a dry spell, and we have, but nothing like what they went through in Elijah's day, 3.5 years. And finally, the prophet's servant goes out and sees a cloud. Do y'all remember that? It wasn't a big, dark storm cloud. It was about the size of a man's hand. And God ended that drought with that kind of cloud. God got the glory. He sent David out with a slingshot. Who do you reckon got the glory when that battle was over? You think David did? No, God did. So God in the Old Testament was choosing things that appeared to be foolish and weak to confound the strong and the mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why does God do that? That no flesh should glory in his presence. I want to tell you, God wants the glory. How many of y'all believe he deserves the glory? Well, he wants the glory, and he deserves the glory, and he arranges things in such a way that he gets the glory. And we want to give him the glory here in this church as we gather to worship him. That no flesh should glory in his presence. I tell you, the flesh of man is quick to glory in the flesh. I want to turn back with you tonight to an interesting lesson found in the book of Judges. The Midianites were plaguing the people of God in Israel. And God chose a young man by the name of Gideon, who was not a great military genius. He was a farmer, and he was really a coward. And God chooses Gideon to lead an army against the Midianites. And so Gideon goes out and he collects 32,000 men in Israel's army. And God looks at it and says, you got too many. Now, who ever heard of having too many soldiers when you're going into battle? But God said you need to reduce your army. And you know, he ended up, now listen to this, he ended up with 300 men going against the mighty Midianite army. 300 men. Now, does that sound foolish? Does that sound weak? Does that sound wise? I want to tell you, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are as above, high above our thoughts as the heavens are the earth. So now God's got a little army of 300 men to go against the mighty Midianite army. And what kind of weapons did God give to this 300-man army? Did he give them tanks and machine guns and bombs? No. You know what God said? I want you to give every man a torch. And I want you to give him an earthen vessel to put that torch under. And I want you to give him a trumpet. And they surrounded the army of the Midianites. Now that's a strange, would you say those are strange weapons? A torch, an earthen vessel to put the torch under to hide the light from the Midianites, and a trumpet to blow. Now, would your money have been on that little army? I don't think so. You'd have probably looked at that and thought, there's no way that little army is going to win against the Midianites. But they surrounded the army of the Midianites at night, and when the sound was given, they broke their earthen vessels. And you know what happened when they broke those earthen vessels? 300 lights began to shine at night. And a trumpet, they all had trumpets, and they began to blow those trumpets. Now, I believe, brethren and sisters, there's a great spiritual lesson for us today as we live out our days on this earth. You and I have an earthen vessel. I talked about it some this morning. It's these mortal bodies. And they are, we have a sinful nature within these bodies. And you and I, you know what we need to do with those earthen vessels? We need to break them. We need to subdue them. We need to get them out of the way, that the light that God has put in us would shine forth. You know, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they, seeing your good works, would glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, if you and I do any good work to bring glory to ourselves, then the motive is wrong. But if we're doing good works and giving glory to God, I want to tell you that's honorable. And the trumpet was going to be sounded, which I think it was the gospel trumpet. It's sounding forth the gospel of salvation by grace and grace alone. Have y'all ever noticed how many times that word gospel is used in the New Testament? And it's used in different ways, but it's always talking about the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel of your salvation. The gospel of grace. The gospel of peace. And you and I ought to be sounding forth that gospel on a regular basis in our daily conversations with one another. We ought to be talking about the Lord. We ought to be discussing the Holy Scriptures. We ought not to be so focused on all the trouble and brokenness and sin that is in this world. I want to tell you, God, spiritual-minded people are often talking about great principles in Scripture. Ordinary, carnal-minded children of God are usually talking about other people. They're gossiping. Now, I want to tell you, you and I are a little army, and we ought to be letting our light shine rather than our flesh. You know, Paul said there in that second Corinthians chapter 4, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure is eternal life that God has given us. And the earthen vessel is our body. In other words, beloved, our earthen vessels don't belong to us. They belong to Him. Paul said in the Corinthian letter, he said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. These bodies belong to Him. And He's put in these bodies a treasure called eternal life. And our bodies should not be trash cans. We ought not to be filling up our minds and our bodies with trash, such as jealousy. That's trash. Going around being jealous of other people, being greedy of what other people have, gossiping, being full of hatred or bitterness or strife, always trying to get at people and hurt them, lust, that's turning our bodies into a trash can. God has put in us a treasure, and we ought to crucify the old nature, break the earthen vessel, and let the light shine, that God would get the glory. Beloved, may God help us to live our lives in such a way that when people see us, they think, I'd like to have what they've got. I'd like to have the peace they have. I'd like to have the joy that they have. We don't want to go around, with a countenance that is fallen. We don't want to go around looking defeated and sad all the time. As long as God is in heaven and on his sovereign throne and ruling the universe, you and I ought to be rejoicing in the Lord always. And again I say, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Look at him in all of his glory and majesty. Somebody selected that hymn tonight. If ever I love thee, Lord Jesus, it's now. I want to tell you, how many of us really love him? Genuinely love him. If you keep your mind on him and your eyes on him and you stay focused on him and you recognize that he is your deliverance, he is your savior, your love for him will grow and grow in this earth. And so, Gideon's army, God was using something that appeared to be weak and foolish to confound a mighty army. And you know, beloved friends, I hope that you and I, as the church of Jesus Christ, can always remember to look to him. We don't want to have a church or a worship service that's going to impress men. That's not what we're about. We're here to worship him, to give him all the glory and the majesty. So let's go back now just a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He would say, and having the same spirit or attitude of faith. Did you know you and I can have the same attitude of faith that Paul had? If we'll stay in the scriptures, if we'll keep our minds on the word of God, if we will use our Bibles and read them and study them and memorize. You know, it would be good to memorize a scripture every day. Wouldn't that be good? You reckon it would be good to hide the word of God in your heart that you might not sin against him? That's what David said. I want to take the word of God and I want to hide it in my heart. You say, now, Brother Sam, my memory just doesn't work. Well, if you're a sports fan, I bet you can remember statistics. If you're at work and your job, your paycheck depends on your memory, I imagine you can remember things. Well, beloved, the King James Bible is written in such a way that it is extremely easy to memorize. It has been proven and tested by English professors for a long time that the King James Bible is so easy to memorize. These new translations, they're very difficult. It's like reading the newspaper. This is written in such a way that your mind can lock into it and you can hide it in your heart. Now, you know, today we all have Bibles. We've got them on our phones. We have copies of our Bibles. So maybe we don't need to memorize them so much. However, when a situation in your life develops where it's a crisis and you don't have a Bible handy, you need the word of God hidden away. Let that scripture come to your mind and let it guide you and direct you. See, David said in Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp under my feet and a light unto my path. We live in a dark world. We need light. And I want to tell you, here is light, incredible light to guide us. You know, I've got 7 grandchildren, and I tell you, I pray for them. I pray for them constantly that God not only will give his angels charge over them. How many of y'all believe in angelic care? I believe the scriptures teach us that God's angels encamp round about us. Jesus said one time, when Peter drew his sword to defend Jesus and cut off a servant's ear, Jesus said, I could ask the Father and he would send legions of angels. Now, if one angel in one night could kill 195 soldiers and kings of Naphtali's army, if one angel could do that, what could a legion of angels do? But Jesus let Peter know, I don't need you and I don't need the angels. I'm here to give my life as a sacrifice. So put up your sword, brother. But I do pray for angelic care, and I pray for the children of this church. I tell you, they lay heavy on my heart. And I've got a list of them at home that I go over. I can't remember all their names very well. I'm trying to learn every name of every child in this church. I have to have it written down. I would encourage y'all to go over over the membership of this church and pray for every member of this church. You say, well, Brother Sam, there's a couple of them I don't think I want to pray for. Those are the ones you need to be praying for the most. Amen? Listen, let's love one another. Let's pray for one another. And let's stay in the Word of God, because we need his Word. We need an attitude of faith. And as we live in the scriptures, we'll have it. And I want to go back and close this evening with a passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where we were a moment ago, that no flesh should glory in his presence. See, the New Testament church is designed in such a way that God gets the glory. As a matter of fact, for the first 300 years after Jesus established the church in Jerusalem, did you know the church did not even have public buildings like this one? Were you aware of that fact? For 300 years, the church just met in homes, or when they were being persecuted, they would meet out in the forest, or in dens and caves of the earth, hiding out. They didn't have buildings, but they would gather together and they would sing. The book of Psalms was their hymn book. And the early Christians for 300 years never had buildings like we have. I'm not suggesting that God is opposed to us having a simple meeting house like we have for comfort. Aren't y'all glad to have comfortable? I remember the old building. It was special. I wouldn't care if it was still over there. You know, we just walk around and bring back memories, but I'm glad to have these padded pews. I'm glad to have a microphone so I don't have to holler at y'all. I'm thankful for the comforts. What about air conditioning? Are y'all glad to have that? Come on now. But I want to tell you, the church for a long time didn't even have buildings. Elder Hassell in his church history, I think, makes a very good case that is the truth. But when Satan got in the religion business, they started building magnificent cathedrals that would take your breath. That's not giving glory to God. You see, when we gather together to worship, it's a simple service. No entertainment. Just simple voices joining together, singing Amazing Grace, or How Sweet the Name of Jesus sounds, things of that nature. And all we have is an open Bible. and we have prayer, and we have fellowship one with the other. It's a very simple church that Jesus built on this earth, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, I want to come and close tonight with verse 30. But of him, now verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him, that is of God, are ye in Christ Jesus. Look at that. How did we get into Jesus? And that's a good place to be in Jesus. You know, Jude said that we are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, beloved, God has preserved us for all eternity. We'll never be lost. We'll never perish because we are preserved in Jesus Christ. And if you're going to preserve vegetables or fruits, you want to preserve them in a clean container. If you put strawberries in a glass jar that's got bacteria in it, it will not preserve. You want to preserve it. I remember my mother scalding the glass jar she used to can our vegetables in, because she knew if there was any bacteria in there, it would spoil. Well, I want to tell you, God has preserved us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? Sanctified or set apart by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, Paul is going to tell us how we get into Christ. But of him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus? It's God that put us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And I love this illustration. You take this folder we have up here, and I put it in this book. I put it in the book. The folder doesn't put itself in the book. I put it in the book. Y'all see that, don't you? It can't put itself in there. And you can't put yourself in Christ any more than this folder can put itself in the book. But now let's put it in the book. And we fold and we wrap the book up. We wrap it in a package. And I put on it a London, England address. And I put it in the mailbox with the proper stamps on it. Do you know where this book is going? It's going to London, England. But do you know where the folder's going? It's going to London, England too, because it's in the book. Now let me tell you, when Jesus Christ was on that cross, you and I were up there with him, representatively. Because we're in Christ. Not literally. We weren't there literally. But I want to tell you figuratively and legally, we were in Christ when he was on that cross. When he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. And when he arose again, we arose with him, because we're in him. But of God are you in Christ Jesus. Our Armenian brethren and sisters say you've got to have faith to get into Jesus. You've got to exercise your faith. That's not in Scripture. But of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Now listen, what God has made unto us: wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is, according it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I love that. Now, beloved, Paul said it in Galatians. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Now, Paul was not literally crucified with Christ, but we do know he said that. That's in Galatians chapter 2. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Now, wait a minute. That just means if you're in Christ, you are crucified with. You've died with him. Now, somebody that's dead, you can't prosecute. You don't prosecute dead men. I remember when Jack Ruby shot the guy that they thought shot Kennedy. Y'all remember that? John Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. And they arrested this man, put him in jail. And that was going to be the trial of the century, I can guarantee you. That would have been a bigger trial than O.J. Simpson. But you know, they never did try Oswald. They never did try Oswald. Why? Because Jack Ruby had killed him. You don't try a dead man. What else would you do? If he's dead, he's dead. Well, I want to tell you, you and I died with Jesus Christ on that cross. So we can't be prosecuted. Do y'all see that? It's no wonder we can be happy in church. Y'all find it hard to find a happier man in the United States than I am tonight because of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to try to live my life. You know, there are times, honestly, when I've tried to preach here or Oak Grove or Timbuktu, and I think, my soul, what a pitiful effort. God deserves so much more. And you know, I wonder why. I am a pitiful creature. I just have to tell you. And so are y'all. What are we doing here trying to worship the God of the universe? Because he loved us. Amen. He's done something in our hearts. He's given us a desire to worship him. Do y'all have a desire to worship God? Where do you think that came from? It didn't come from your flesh. You know why we have so much trouble acknowledging our horrible sins? Because we are horrible sinners. But Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Now that's getting some light, isn't it? When you can see your own sinfulness. Thank you all for your presence tonight. May God receive the glory if there's anything been said worthwhile.